John. And we'll read verse number 1 through verse number 7. And I will read the first verse, you join me on the second, and so on all the way through verse number 7. The book of 3rd John, verse number 1 through verse number 7. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. And our text verse this evening is verse number 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for a wonderful weekend. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful weekend of people being saved, and Lord, people being obedient and following you in baptism, and Lord, lives being changed thus far. And Lord, we ask you to please do it again tonight. How many times have we gathered here in these 20 plus years on a Sunday night, and Lord, you came down and you met with us. Lord, we ask you to please do it again tonight. Lord, as our preacher stands, Lord, you give him power and wisdom from on high. Lord, as we sit here, may we open our hearts wide and listen intently through the ears that the Spirit would give us, that we may learn something that will make us better. Lord, there's no telling what we're going to face this coming week. There's no telling what obstacles or temptations are going to come our way. And something just may be said tonight that will give us the strength and the knowledge to avoid tragedy this coming week. Lord, be with our preacher. Bless. In Jesus' name we pray.
Well, somebody holler amen. Want you to look at 3 John, our text verse, verse 2. The Bible says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. I want you to underline this little statement, even as thy soul prospereth. The soul is the focal point here. The point of contact here is the soul. The comparison here is to the soul. The standard here is the soul. The bar that is set here is that of the soul. So I want to talk to you tonight for a few moments. And I've looked this outline over, and it looks very, very short outline. And I think we're all going to Brother Zinn's house for popcorn. But I want to talk to you tonight about a sick soul. A sick soul. And I hope that you'll listen carefully. And I know you'll find something tonight that'll help you. A sick soul. Now, Father, help us tonight. We want to hear from heaven. And Holy Spirit of God, please talk to us and teach us a great truth tonight so that we can be more what we ought to be this week for Thee. And Father, we want to see people saved. We want to see people born again. And we've got to have healthy souls in order for that to happen. And so we pray that You'll talk to us tonight. Teach us a great truth from the Bible, please. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Look this way. Listen carefully. I'm going to give you several scriptures to write down. Proverbs 19:15. Proverbs 19 talks about the idle soul, I-D-L-E, the idle soul. I'll write this down. Job 3:20 talks about the bitter soul, the bitter soul. Psalm 107 verse 5, Psalm 107 verse 5 talks about the fainting soul, the fainting soul, the soul that gives up or the soul that quits or the soul that turns back. So in Proverbs 19:15, it talks about the idle soul. Job 3, verse 20, talks about the bitter soul. Psalm 107, verse 5, talks about the fainting soul. Isaiah 29, verse 8, talks about the empty soul. The empty soul. So Proverbs 19:15 talks about the idle soul. Job 3, verse 20, talks about the bitter soul. Psalm 107, verse 5, talks about the fainting soul, the one that quits and turns back, gives up. Isaiah 29:8 talks about the empty soul. Deuteronomy 12:15 talks about the lusting soul. The lusting soul. Deuteronomy 12:15, the lusting soul. Psalm 42, verse 5, talks about the soul that is cast down. The soul that is depressed, the soul that is defeated, the soul that is sorrowful, the soul that is sad, the soul that is melancholy. soul. And Proverbs 19:15 talks about the idle soul. Job 3 verse 20 talks about the bitter soul. Psalm 107 verse 5 talks about the fainting soul. The soul that gives up, quits, turns back. Isaiah 29:8 talks about the empty soul. Deuteronomy 12:15 talks about the lusting soul. Psalm 42 verse 5 talks about the soul that is cast down, depressed, defeated, sorrowful, sad, melancholy. Write this down. Job 10:1 talks about the weary soul. The weary soul. The one that is tired. The weary soul. In Judges 5:21 talks about the trodden down soul. The one destroyed by gossip or criticism or hurt. The trodden down soul. So, Proverbs 19:15 talks about the idle soul. Job 3:20 talks about the bitter soul. Psalm 107:5 talks about the fainting soul. Isaiah 29:8 talks about the empty soul. Deuteronomy 12:15 talks about the lusting soul. Psalm 42:5 talks about the soul that's cast down, depressed, defeated, sorrowful, sad, melancholy, the way some of you look tonight. And Job 10:1 talks about the weary soul, the tired soul. Judges 5:21 talks about the trodden down soul, destroyed by gossip or criticism or hurt. Write this down. Psalm 107:26 talks about the melted soul. The melted soul. That's the one in the heat of the battle that melts, and the battle becomes so great that their soul begins to melt. Write this down. Proverbs 8:36 says you can do wrong to your soul. You can do wrong to your soul. Proverbs 8:36. Proverbs 15:32 says you can despise your soul. You can despise your soul. Proverbs 20:2, you can sin against your soul. So we found out tonight, Proverbs 19:15 talks about the idle soul. Job 3:20 talks about the bitter soul. Psalm 107:5 talks about the fainting soul. Isaiah 29:8 talks about the empty soul. Deuteronomy 12:15 talks about the lusting soul. Psalm 42:5 talks about the soul that's cast down, depressed, defeated, sorrowful, sad, melancholy. Job 10:1 talks about the weary soul, the one that's tired. Judges 5:21 talks about the trodden down soul, destroyed by gossip or criticism or hurt. Psalm 107:26 talks about the melted soul, the heat of the battle. We can wrong our soul. We can despise our soul. We can sin against our soul. Now, listen carefully. All right? I need for you to stand right up here, if you would. Stand right beside me. This is going to face them. This is going to represent the body of a man. If you'll step up here, this will represent the spirit of a man, and I'll represent the soul of a man. Now, don't miss this. Each of us that has a body, in that body dwells a soul. So, you step to the front up here, and you step behind me, if you would. Behind me, if you would. Here's the body. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare you, but here's the body, here's the soul, and here's the spirit. Okay? Now step out to the side so they can see us here. So, now, the body, in that body, dwells a soul. In that soul dwells a spirit. In that spirit dwells the Holy Spirit. Now, my body is that which you see. My soul is that which enables me to communicate with you. My soul is my outlook, my attitude, my cheerfulness concerning other souls. My soul is that part of me that can be crabby. That soul is that part of me that can be cheerful. That soul is that part of me that can be delightful. That soul is that part of me that can be disgusting. My soul is that which is the real me that lives in my body. So, here's the body, here's the soul, and here's the spirit. Inside of the body is the soul. Inside of the soul is the spirit. Okay? Now come back around. Now, the spirit of a man communicates with God. The soul of a man communicates with other human beings. So when somebody says, you got soul, baby, there's more to that than just a little of a statement. It's a true statement. It's communication. The body communicates to Pizza Hut, Burger King, and Pizza Warehouse, and so on. And I like that part. Now, so the part of me that can be crabby, cheerful, delightful, or disgusting is the soul. Now, in my soul, there dwells a spirit. That spirit was revived when I got saved. Now, okay, let's just step back down here, if you would. You be seated, if you would. Okay? Now, here's the body, here's the soul. The spirit is dead. But in this spirit is a devil. Put your Bible down there, devil, unless it's an NIV. and stand here. In him is the spirit of disobedience, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. So this man is dead in the sight of God. His spirit is dead. Now there's a spirit in him, but it's a devil in him. But here's the body, here's the soul, here's the spirit. Let somebody else be the soul here. Would you be the soul for the sin, if you don't mind? And Brother Bob, you'd be a soul winner if you would. Okay, stand right in the middle if you would. That's where the soul is. So the soul winner comes along and gives the gospel. You want to be saved? He wants to be saved. So he bows his head. Now, face this way. Okay, he bows his head to invite Christ. I'll be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then comes in and takes the Holy Spirit then comes in and binds this devil, and then kicks this devil out of him, and then brings to life the spirit of a man. Now the Holy Spirit is born in the spirit of man. Now that devil tries to come. Keep your arms behind your back. Tries to come back in, but greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. This is a dumb devil, folks. So he comes, and so the Holy Spirit now protects you, and once saved, always saved. You don't have to worry about losing your salvation. Please don't catch him. So what happens is the devil keeps trying to come back in, but greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Somebody shout amen. I'm talking about once saved, always saved. I'm talking about I'm going to heaven. I ain't going to hell because I trusted the Savior. I'm born. Well, somebody say amen now. Folks, we're Baptist people. We're not Benny Hinn people. We're not Jimmy Swaggart people. We're not Pentecostal people. We're Bible-believing people. All right? Now, so I bring him to life. Now, you may be seated, okay? Now, thank you. You can be seated. You three, don't go nowhere. Don't go nowhere. Come back up here, if you would. So, you have a body. I'm sorry, Brother Bob. You can sit down and get back up here, if you would. And you have a soul and you have a spirit. Now, listen carefully. That means that if my soul lives in my body, please listen carefully, that my body must be clean in order for my soul to be healthy. Anybody listen to me? If body, soul, spirit, if I live in this body, then if I'm to have the right type of a soul, then my body's got to be clean. If my body is clean, it affects my soul. So I communicate about the things of God instead of pornography and Playboy and gambling and the boats and everything else. I communicate to people because my body is clean, it affects my soul. All right? Now, stand up here. Hey, okay, if you don't believe me, you take somebody that's sick and see how it affects their attitude about life. The body affects the soul. Now, if that be true, then when you smoke and you cuss and you dip and you drink and you run around, commit adultery, act like a heathen, it's going to affect your soul. So physically, the body affects my soul. Now, wait a minute now. The spirit of a man communicates with God. Hey, son, get your head off your chin. Hey, wake that boy up. Hey, son, sit back and listen to me. I'm free. Stay home. If you don't want to come for church, stay home. You're welcome. Glad you're here. But when you're here, you're going to listen to it. Don't cock your head like that. I can deal down behind the wheel, too. Say, I drive and I coo. Now, in fact, my caddy will jump. It'll jump higher than your car will. I'll tell you that right now. Okay, now, the spirit of a man will have a contest after church. Oh, you don't have a car. Now, the spirit of a man communicates with God. The body communicates to the sense world. Now, please don't miss this. If the body is not healthy, it affects my soul. If my spirit is not healthy, it affects my soul. That's why don't you get mad at me when I get up and preach about staying away from the world and the world's music. I'll pause while you holler amen. It's about time that God's people realize you've got to be clean and separate from the world. You can't wallow in the hogmire of the world and expect your soul, your communication with other people to be what it ought to be. The reason you husbands fuss with your wives, because your body is dirty, it's not what it ought to be, and thus you can't talk about anything except something bad. You people don't read your Bible, spend time with God. It affects your soul, and it comes out in your communication. So, physically, I'm affected. My soul is affected by the body. I'm affected by my spirit. Your soul, then, is not as healthy as it could be. Likewise, the soul must be kept healthy because the spirit dwells in the soul. Now, the spirit is that which enables you to fellowship with God, just as the soul enables you to fellowship with others. And the spirit, are you listening? Are you listening? Enables you to fellowship with God. So if I am to have the right kind of fellowship with God, I am to keep my soul healthy. I'm to keep my body healthy. If I live in a separated life in my body is healthier. Then my soul has a healthy habitat. Then my soul is kept healthy, so that my spirit then has a good dwelling place to live in.
and thus my spirit is healthy, and the Holy Spirit has a healthy habitat for him to live in. So each one is affecting the other. So the spirit affects the soul, and the soul affects the body, and the opposite is true. The body affects the soul, and the soul affects my spirit, and my spirit affects the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Bible says, quench not the spirit. Is that possible? Is it possible to quench? Say, quench not the Spirit. Say it with me. Quench not the Spirit. Say it with me. Quench not the Spirit. So apparently you have the ability to do that. So what part of it that quenches the Spirit? It's the Spirit of the man. It's the soul. It's the body. So I am to keep my body clean. I am to keep my soul clean. And I am to keep my spirit clean. So the Holy Spirit will have a clean temple in which to live. Now the only one, listen carefully. Here's the sermon. The only one that touches both is the soul. Now don't miss this now. The body touches the soul. The soul touches the spirit. But the only one out of the three that touches both is the soul. So it is the soul of a man that touches the body. It is the soul of a man that touches the spirit of man. So the soul touches both body and spirit. So that's why God wants you to have a healthy soul. For 48 years of salvation, the devil has tried to get my soul. For 33 years of ministry, the devil's tried to get my soul. Why? Because my soul's the only part that touches the body and the spirit. Satan has tried to get that part of me that can be pessimistic or optimistic. It can be cheerful or uncheerful. It can be glad or sad. It can be on top or on bottom. It can be happy or unhappy. And Satan has tried for these 48 years, after I've gotten saved and got born again, he has tried to affect my soul so my soul is bitter and empty. All the things that the Bible says are possible to happen with the soul. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying to you tonight, it is possible for you to live such a way that you don't have to have a bitter soul. You don't have to be mad. You don't have to be upset. You don't have to be grouchy. You don't have to be an old crab. You don't have to be that way at all. Somebody say amen today. You see, the devil knows if he can get your soul, it'll affect your body. You'll stay home from church. If he can get your soul, you'll pick up and start drinking again. If he can affect your soul, you'll start cussing again. If he affects your soul, you'll start doing things physically you shouldn't do. So he's after your soul. And then you won't be as good a Christian as you could have been. More is said about your soul in the Bible than you can imagine. For example, Matthew 16:26. Write that down. Matthew 16:26 says, "What is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now these verses are not, this verse is not talking about being saved from sin. That's not talking about being born again. That's talking about your soul being healthy. So if you were to gain the whole world and lose your own soul, it's not worth it to lose your thrill. Listen to me now. It's not worth it to lose your excitement. If you gained the whole world but became miserable, if you gained the whole world but became wretched, if you gained the whole world but became depressed, what good is that? What good would it be to you at all? You don't need another husband. You don't need another wife. You don't need another church. You don't need another job. You just need to get your soul healthy. Drop this down, 1 Peter 1:9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Now hold it, hold it, hold it. That's not talking about being born again. He said the end of faith. It's the beginning of faith that gets you born again. Did you hear what I said? It's the beginning of faith that gets you born again. So what is the ending of your faith? The salvation of your soul. It is not complete until you're optimistic. It's not complete till you're on top side. It's not complete until you say, I'm going to face this. I'm going to conquer this. I'm going to will to do so. I'm not going to tuck tail. I'm not going to run. I'm going to be what I should be for God. And that is the healthy soul. I'm talking about your optimism. I'm talking about your outlook. I'm talking about your healthy communication. I'm talking about your attitude. That's why, that's the way you look at life. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The what? Salvation of your communication. The salvation. Look, when things get rough, it's not time to talk about things being rough. When things get hard, that's not time to talk about things being hard. When things get rough, talk about heaven. When things get rough, talk about God. When things get rough, talk about the Holy Spirit. When things get rough, talk about how that we've got the victory already. Hey folks, I read the end of the book. We won. The victory's ours. We don't lose. The bad man goes down and the good people go up. The booger man goes to hell and burns forever. How many are saved on your way to heaven? Well, somebody say amen. Okay, if you're saved, you're going up. You ain't going down. when the whole thing is over and the trumpet sounds and there's a shout, guess what? We're going up. Don't you count us out. You go right ahead and try to count us out, but I'm telling you, the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Now, there are dozens of you whose names are written down in heaven, but your soul is not saved. Listen carefully now. If that's what that verse is talking about, and it is talking about that, there are hundreds of you, maybe, whose names are written down in heaven, but your soul's not saved. If you died today, you'd go to heaven, but your soul is not saved. And it's affecting your body. Your body language. And you sit there and look so sad. What's the matter? Something wrong with your soul. You women don't smile in church. Something wrong with your soul. Something wrong with your soul. You ain't got soul, baby. There's something wrong with your soul. Bless God if you're saved on your way to heaven. Look, what? People don't know whether you're saved or not, so smile and let them know you are. I said smile and let them know you are. I said smile and let them know you are. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm going to heaven. Thank God I'm not going to hell. Now, I'm saying it affects your body. By the way, it affects your spirit. You don't pray as much. Listen to me now. You know it's true. You don't read your Bible as much. You don't walk with God. You sleep in instead of getting up. You made an appointment with God, but you don't have an appointment with God. You sleep in. You got everything in the world. Oh, you won't be late to work, but you'll be late to devotions. You won't be late to work, but you'll be late to reading your Bible. You won't be late to work because that's cash, man. You've got to have the cash, you know. But you won't spend time with God. I'm simply saying when your soul gets unhappy and your soul gets down and you have a sick soul, it affects your body and you do things you shouldn't do. You act like you shouldn't act. Somebody help me now. I'm just saying it affects your body and it affects your spirit. So you're depressed. You're melancholy. You're despondent. You just thought of a joke and I can't tell it. You're defeated. You're downcast. You're grumpy. You're grouchy. I said, did you wake up grumpy this morning? No, I let him sleep. You're negative, and folks are starting to avoid you, and you're starting to avoid certain people, and your presence becomes gloom and doom, and you have got to get your soul saved to get you some optimism back in it. Don't forget, it's the only part of you that affects both the body and affects the spirit. Now, you say, I've got a certain sin and I can't win the victory. But I'll tell you why you can't win the victory. You got a sick soul. You got a sick soul. Get your soul right. Get your soul right. Don't forget, it's the only part that affects both. Keep it up and you'll be down at McDonald's watching TV for 3 hours. Keep it up and you'll be griping and complaining about the youth director. Keep it up, you'll be complaining about the principal of the school. Keep it up. You'll be griping about the choir director. And I understand that one. Keep it up. You'll be griping about the youth pastor and the pastor. Keep it up. You'll be complaining about the college. I'm just simply saying, look, the 142nd Psalm gives us a sad statement. Listen carefully. The psalmist said, I looked on my right hand, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Now, this is David who penned this, and David was a saved man. He was not talking about being born again. He was not talking about becoming a Christian. He is not saying, I was unsaved and no man cared for my soul to get me saved. David was saying, listen carefully, I was destitute and no man cared for my soul. I was depressed and no man cared for my soul. Don't miss this now. I was down and in the dumps in my soul. I was melancholy in my soul. I thank God I can look at the top side of things and not on the bottom side. And you need to start doing that too. And you need to say to yourself, look, I'm not going to hell. Look, Buster, you're not going to hell. You're not going to burn in hell. You're God's child. You got the victory won. Now what in the world are you doing depressed and down? Get back up again. That'll put a zip in a step. Lifting your step, that'll get you back in the Bible again. I thank God I can still see the positive in spite of it all. I thank God that my soul is healthy. I thank God I can rise above the circumstance. My soul is saved. And it's my job to save your soul tonight. And I'm not talking about keeping you from going to hell. I'm talking about keeping you from hell on earth. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them to have the rule over you and submit because they watch for your what? Souls. Watch for your what? Souls. So the preacher's got to keep your soul optimistic. Got to keep your soul on top side. Folks, it ain't bad. It's not bad. You're saved. It's not bad. Just a few more days, it's going to be over with. What in the world are we complaining about? Thank God we're not on the enemy's side. Thank God we're not lost. Thank God we are saved. Is anybody listening to me? Is anybody listening to me tonight? Thank God. How many of you are saved on your way to heaven? Well, good night. Smile about it then. Quit thinking about ball games and think about God. I'm talking about keeping you from having hell on earth. My job tonight is to keep your soul healthy. Why? Because it affects your body. Why? Because it affects your spirit and it affects others. My job is to keep you on top side. My job is to keep you optimistic. My job is to keep you laughing. My job is to keep you from griping. My job is to keep you bus division leaders from tearing each other down and build up your own division. My job is to keep you from complaining. My job is to keep you from fussing. My job is to keep you from being negative. My job is to keep you from gossiping. Why? Because your soul affects all of you. It affects your body, it affects your spirit, and it affects others. Now, there are dozens of you that ought to get your soul saved. Ought to get your soul saved. Now, you're saved, but you ought to get your soul saved. All you do is gripe. Every time you open your mouth, you complain. You haven't got a good word to say about nothing. Take a tape recorder around, follow you around, play that, record what you say. Just write it down. The words that come out of your mouth. You'd be shocked what come out of your mouth. Some of you wives, you wouldn't gripe as much if you hear what you really sounded like. Of course, husbands don't do that. It's just wives that do that. And it affects you. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you're going to heaven. Yes, you'll not go to hell. Yes, your name's written down in heaven. Yes, heaven's your home. Yes, Jesus is your Savior. Yes, God is your Father. Yes, the rapture is your hope. Yes, the Bible is your book. But your soul's in terrible shape. How do you know, preacher? When you stop at the petrol station and don't fill up with gas, but fill up with gossip, your soul's in bad shape. Proverbs 11:30. Jot that down. Let me tell you about that verse. He said, "He that winneth souls is wise." Now listen carefully to this. He that winneth souls is wise. Now that's not just talking about keeping people out of hell. Listen to me now. It means that folks around you ought to feel better because they are around you. Listen to me now. He that winneth souls is wise. It doesn't say sinners here. Now, I think it includes that. But if you're upset right now, you have a sick soul. In fact, if you're upset at any time, you have a sick soul. It means that folks around you ought to feel better because you're around. He that winneth souls is wise. Your soul is your communication to other souls. Hey, why not win them over by optimism? Why not win them over by being positive? Why not win them over? You with me? Why not win them over by being on top side? Why not win them over by living above the clouds? Why not win them over by living above the circumstances? I want folks to feel better just because I walk by them. I want folks to feel better because I've crossed their path. I want every clerk at every motel I check into to feel better because I've been there. I want every porter at the airport, a little joke, a little humor, to put a little joy in his life. I want everywhere that I go, every place that I stay, for somebody to say, there's something different about that man that's staying here. That man is optimistic. That man's on top side. He that winneth what? Souls. He that winneth what? Souls. He that winneth what? Souls. That's communication. Let me give an example. Brother Bob and I were in the Dallas airport. In that Dallas airport, they have an Admiral's Club area there where you can go in and plug your computers in. You got where you can go in and work and privacy. So I happen to be belong to that Admiral's Club because it helps. I get flights 3 and 4 hours late. It gives me a place I can go and where I can get some work done. So Bob and I decided to go there. We had about, I think it was 4 hours, wasn't it? Something like that, 4 hour between flight. So we went up there. We checked in. Well, we're downstairs, and Bob walked away, and he said, "That lady that just went ahead of us, I think that lady ahead of us is a television star." Now, how in the world he knew this, I'll never know. But he said, "I think she is." And I said, "I don't know what in the world you're talking about." He said, "Sherry Wilson." I said, "I have no idea who you're talking about." So he got around the corner. He said, "I'm positive, Dad." I said, "I am absolutely positive. That is a somebody that's on television. I'm almost positive." And I said, "Well, go back and ask the lady." So didn't you? He went back and asked the lady. He said, "Let me ask you a question. Was that Alex Cahill?" Now, I said to myself, he said Sherry Wilson, and now he's saying Alex Cahill. I said, "How many women does this guy know?" And so And he said, that's her pen name. Said her real name is Sherry Wilson. He said, so the lady looked up the computer and said, who do you think? She said, who do you think she is? Well, she's on this Walker Ranger television program, and I think she's the DA on that program. This is Bob. This is your youth director now. This is your spiritual youth director here. He said, I think that she's the DA on the Walker Ranger television program. And so the lady typed in and said, you're right, that's the name. Well, they'd already gone upstairs, so we went upstairs, and Bob was just rushing to get an autograph. And we got on the elevator, and we went upstairs, and there she was with her son, her 15-year-old son, I think, Luke, and she was fussing with the people behind the counter, and they said, well, wait a minute now, I've got to catch a flight. That lady downstairs said that my son could stay up here. And the man said, I'm sorry. He cannot stay here. We allow no minors up here without their parents or an adult. We can't do that. And she was fussing and said, look, now, the lady downstairs said that I could leave my son. And the fellow said, I'm sorry, ma'am. We can't do that. And they're fussing back and forth. So I stopped, and I put my hand over there, and I said to her, ma'am, I'm a pastor. I pastor a Baptist church in Longview, Texas. Why don't you let us watch your son? You go ahead and catch your flight, and he can catch his flight, and everything will be fine. And she said, oh, would you do that? And I said, I would love to do that. It would be an honor to do that. And Bob, you know what he did? Can I have your autograph? He didn't care about the 15-year-old son. He didn't care the dilemma. He said, can I have your autograph? And so check his Bible. He doesn't have Lee Robertson in it. He doesn't have Jack Hiles in it. He's got Sherry Wilson in his Bible there. And So Luke stayed with us, and it, by the way, he was a perfect gentleman, wasn't he? He was a perfect gentleman, and dressed like the world, and looked like the world, and I mean pants falling down, choo-choo showing, and long hair and everything. But let me tell you, he was a perfect gentleman, an absolute perfect gentleman. And so we went and sat down, and I talked to Luke about his soul. And Luke said to me, I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. And it wasn't but a few minutes later, Luke bowed his head and prayed, took me by the hand and prayed and invited Christ into his heart. And he got born again. So Bob came back looking for other autographs in the Admiral's Club. And he came, smile or go home. But nice, not that bad. You ain't that good of a saint. Everybody's trying to look, well, you know, excuse me. For living, I fell out of a hearse. And so I said, Bob, I've got to go back there and get some work done. So I went back to get some work. So he stayed and talked to him. And Luke leaned over to Bob and said, let me tell you something. My mom never, a good deed never goes unrewarded. Never. Never. And so he tells me this story later. He said, oh no. He said, she'll do something for your dad. You watch. And when he said that, I thought, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm not sure which is worse, this or the autograph. I'm not sure which is worse. But when he said that to me, I said, yeah, new men's dorm. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's what she'll do. And so Bob finished the conversation. He said that, for example, he said, how would your dad like some tickets to Texas, Walker, Texas shooting of the program one of these days? And the big mouth over here said, he'd love it. He would love it. He would just, thanks a lot, pal. He would just, you just send him, they're putting the program back on television apparently, and so he said, you just send my dad some tickets, he would love to go. Me, I'm too busy, I'll not be able to go, but my dad would love to go. You stinking hypocrite, you. Now, I'm just saying, there is no reason for you to be unkind to people. There's no reason. You know, it would have been very easy to say, you wicked Hollywood person, you, how dare you promote what you promote on these programs and stuff. But wait a minute, what about a kind word? What about offering help? You know, I just wish Christian people would be kind to everybody. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be, look, bring them here. You want them to get mad? Let them hear me preach. I'll make them mad. But there's something about the soul that's healthy, and it affects the body, and it affects the spirit. Now, let me give you some things, and we're going to get out of here. You may be seated. Thank you. First of all, number one, keep your body clean. Keep your body clean. If my soul, are you listening to me? If my soul is to be healthy, then my body has got, stay away. Listen to the preacher when he talks about you, stay away from the world. That stinking rap music is going to do nothing but make a cop killer out of you. Get out of the rock and roll. Get out, you old-footed duddies. Get out of the country and western music, which is nothing but rock and roll in the 50s. That's all it is. Stay out of it. Listen to the preacher when he preaches about you being separate from the world. Number two, keep in touch with God with your spirit. Keep in touch with God with your spirit. Have prayer time. Get up in the morning. Spend time with God. Get optimistic about life. Get that little hurly bird ride I talk about, that little helicopter ride in the morning, and get up there and look at life from God's point of view instead of your rotten attitude. And get up there and get a good look at life, and then go on about your business. Come back down and work with the turkeys. Number one, keep your body clean. Number one, keep your what clean? Body clean. Keep your what clean? Body clean. And let me stop and say thank God for this church. Thank God for old-fashioned Baptist preaching and preaching against smoking, cussing, dipping, chewing, going to move. Thank God for old-fashioned fundamental hellfire, damnation, King James only Bible preaching. Okay, don't smile. Maybe I'll find something. I'm going to talk about movies. Maybe you'll smile. Or Alex Cahill, maybe you'll smile. Number one, keep your body clean. Number two, keep in touch with God with your spirit. Number three, keep your spirit right. Keep your spirit right. Don't start getting bitter. If you start getting bitter, you're going to affect your soul. Keep your spirit right. There's no sense in you getting bitter. If you're God's child, why are you bitter? If you're God's child, why are you hurt? Why you got that sad, sad look on your face? You're God's child. You're going to heaven when you die. Listen, I want you to have a healthy soul. Keep your body clean. Keep in touch with God. Keep your spirit right. Next, feed your soul good soul food. Feed your soul good soul food. Ribs, good soul food. Feed your soul with good soul food. Don't listen to negative stuff. Don't listen to it. Stay in the Bible. Let the Bible feed your soul. Let the Bible feed your soul. Next, communicate with people about God. Communicate with people about God. Talk to people about the Lord. Talk to people about being saved. Talk to people. That's why soul winning is a good, it helps your soul. Get out here and tell people how to be born again. Stop people on the street. Give them the gospel. Get people saved. Communicate with people with your soul. Now say, last of all, let the soul influence your spirit and body. Let the soul influence your spirit and body. Let the soul, if you're going to talk about God, then you make sure your body's where it's supposed to be. You make sure your body's clean. If you're going to talk about God, you put pressure on your spirit to spend time with God. You spend time with God. You talk with God. Get up in the morning, spend time with Him. Now listen, folks, this is so important. Look, you husbands who go home and go straight to the bedroom and shut the door, you are hurting your marriage. You wives that spend all your time in the bedroom, get out of the bedroom. Clean up your house. You know, why don't some of you ladies do this? Why don't you dress up? So I said to my wife, she was going shopping on last Thursday, and one of our ladies saw her and said, "What are you all dressed up for?" So I'm going shopping. "Well, what are you all dressed up for?" She said, "I'm going shopping." "No, you're not listening." She said, "Why are you all dressed up?" "I'm going shopping." I don't understand why you walk out of the house, you ladies, with your hair up in curlers. I mean, if you're getting yourself, why? I mean, aren't you defeating? Is anybody listening to me at all? I mean, you got the Campbell soup cans in your head, and I mean, what's the idea? I don't understand. You dressed up. When are you dressed up? Get rid of that 1908 robe. I know you're in love with that robe, but your armpit hanging out of that hole is not very exciting. It's got egg all over the front of it, got grease all over it. Why don't you get up early in the morning and get yourself dressed up before he leaves the house and goes to work and sees a secretary all dressed up and she's smelling good and she brings coffee to him? Why don't you get out of bed? Why don't you get up? Get out of that bed. Fix him a breakfast. Come on, fellas, I need your help. Fix him some breakfast. Biscuits. Gravy. Bacon. Eggs. There goes your diet, buddy. TB, triple belly. But... Hey, I'm just saying, Don't lose your soul. 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 Don't listen. You make sure your soul affects your body and affects your spirit. Stay healthy. Don't have a sick soul. I got on a plane. I was flying to Orlando, Florida to preach. I sat down next to this guy and I said, "How you doing today?" "Nothing." I said, "How you doing today?" "Nothing." I said, "Hi, my name's Bob Gray." "Nothing." So I did this. He looked at me and said, "What's the matter? You spastic?" I said, "No, I thought you was deaf." He said, "That's not deaf language." I said, "For you, it's deaf." I don't understand us. Why do we have to be that way? I'm just saying, I go to places, the plane's late. And boy, you talking about griping, complaining. Listen, if the pilot ain't going, I ain't going. Amen? I mean, if the pilot says it ain't good to go up, folks, I'm not going to push him into, "Oh, go on anyway." Last Monday, it was a storm in the area, and our plane, a little American Eagle thing, got halfway down the runway, and all of a sudden he cut it down. And so we came back around. The storms just hit all of a sudden. He said, "I'm not going up." Said, "The storms just hit, and I'm not going up." The guy behind me said, "I'm going to be late." I said, "Late what? To your funeral?" And the guy in the exit row on the other side said, "Don't talk about dying." Now, what's your soul like? Maybe that's why you and your wife fight all the time. Maybe your soul's not right. Maybe that's why you and your mom and dad don't get along. Maybe your soul... Gasp! Could it be your fault? Could there be something wrong with your soul? Maybe that's why you and the boss don't get along. Could it be something wrong with you? Of course not. But it could be. Keep your soul healthy. Why? Come up here. Because it affects the body and it affects the spirit. If the body's not healthy, it's going to ruin the soul. If the spirit's not healthy, it's going to ruin the soul. If the soul's not healthy, it's going to hurt the body. If the soul's not healthy, it's going to hurt the spirit of a man. Now, you keep your soul healthy. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Everyone standing, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.